I don't know if it's just because of this sermon series I've been thinking about. I've been talking about evangelism, you know. And I've been talking about being commissioned, like we saw last week. And 2 weeks ago from Mark chapter 2, I was reminding us of the zeal of the four that carried their paralyzed friend so he could have an encounter with Jesus. And so I've been talking about the church having that same kind of zeal, knowing that we're commissioned to make a difference for the kingdom of God. Not that God can't do it, He can. But He's commissioned us to be His soldiers, to be, well, His children. And I don't know if it's because of that or because I've done three more funerals in the last week, but I've been thinking about eternity. You think much about eternity? When I was on the other side of 45, which has been quite a while ago already, I didn't think much about eternity either. But I do now. I think about it every day. And here's what I think about eternity. And I wonder if you think the same sometimes. I think about heaven. Oh, the glory. Oh, the glory of heaven. I think about seeing Jesus face to face someday. And seeing people like Moses and David and Peter and John and the Jameses and Paul. But then I think about the other eternity. I don't mean the other, there's another one. I mean the one running simultaneously when we're with Jesus, when followers of Christ are with Jesus. Then I begin to think about those that didn't make it. I began to think more about the story that Jesus told in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount when He said, "Wide is that gate and broad is that road that leads to destruction." And Jesus' words, "and many are on it." I began to think about that, and I began to think about, God, can You use me to make a difference? Can You use this church, will You continue to use Your church, O God, to make a difference on all the people on the broad road, the leading to destruction? I don't know if you think like I do or not, but when I think about eternity, the more I think about eternity and the more I think about that four-letter word called hell, the more passion I have, the more zeal I have for people that are on the broad road. I don't want people to be on the broad road. My family or yours. Our community or yours. I don't want people to be on the broad road. Not that I bring about any increase. I don't. God does. The Bible is clear about that. But we've been commissioned, brothers and sisters. Remember what I said last week? We've been commissioned. And I'm going to show us from Scripture again today. It comes from Romans chapter 10, if you got your Bible. That's where I'm going to be, beginning at verse 9. I'm going to show you again today that we've got a responsibility. We really do. That's why I've been talking about evangelism for a month. We really do. And I know, I've told you this before, I know we can argue, well, God doesn't need me. But He wants to use you, just like He used Moses. He didn't need Moses to come from sheep herding to draw the people out of Egypt into the promised land either. But He wants to use people. And He didn't need Jonah to go to Nineveh either. He could have done it himself, but He wants to use people. And so I want to encourage us today, brothers and sisters, again, and challenge us. God wants to use you. You say, "Jim, I'm not the pastor." You're right. Not yet. Maybe God will call you to that too someday. Just like He waited till I was 45 to call me. But even if you're not the pastor, remember what I said last week? If you've been born again, you've got a story. A God story that God can use to bring Him glory. Amen? You've got a story. It's a good story. If you've been redeemed, you've got a God story. And He can use your story in any old circumstance, in any old place, and don't have to be in church, don't have to be in a Bible study, don't have to be in Awana. He can use your story to bring Himself glory with somebody in your neighborhood or your coworkers or whatever else. And so I just want to encourage us again today, and probably will again next week, God wants to use you and me. I'm not stepping out of the line of responsibility. He wants to use His church. And I don't know if it's because I've done these funerals lately again or not, but I think a lot about eternity. And I just want His church to make a difference in people's lives. Do some planting, do some watering, like Paul said, so God can bring some increase. And so that's why He's given me this word this morning from Romans chapter 10. You know these first four verses very well, 9 through 13. We talk about these verses with our Awana children a lot. And I quote verse 9 and 10 quite often. But I've never preached from verse 14 and 15, I don't think. And this is what the Lord has given me today. So let's take a look together at Romans 10, beginning at 9. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, just a tiny bit different than your King James, New King James, in NIVs. But it's a good version. Here's what it says. Paul writes to the church, because if you confess with your lips, most of your translations say, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, I've said a whole lot of times, friend, it's more than a head knowledge about God. The devil believes in God. You still with me? The devil believes in God, and he's not going to be with Jesus in God in heaven. It's more than a head knowledge, because lots of people say to me, yeah, Jim, I believe in God. People have probably told you the same thing. Yes, I believe in God. But have we believed and received Christ in our heart and been born again? He used the word saved. Saved from what? Saved from the wrath of God to come. He is a loving God. He is a generous God. He is a gracious God. He is a merciful God. But judgment will come if we have never trusted Jesus Christ, His Son. Saved. And so Paul writes, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised from the dead, we will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified. And one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. That's why I invite you so often to come forward and pray with Pastor Les or Marie or Richard or somebody else or myself to confess with your own mouth, I believe Him. I believe I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. That's why we ask you so often to come and confess with your mouth your belief and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, we're justified when we believe with the heart and we confess with our mouth. The Scripture says, no one who believes in Him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on Him. And here's a verse that you know. I think you know. It's very short, very simple, but very profound. For everyone, I like the old terminology, for whosoever. New Revised says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I've had all kinds of people say, but Jim, what if they were a nasty sinner all their life? What if they abused people? What if they abused me? What if they were a scoundrel their whole lives and on their deathbed they cried out in earnest to Jesus? And I said, if they have cried out in earnest to God for salvation through faith in Christ and believed in their heart, even though I have or they have been a scoundrel their whole lives, they will be saved. I say hallelujah for the grace of God available to us even the 11th hour, even if I have been a scoundrel my whole life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord and mean it shall be saved. And now the verses, the point of today, that go along with what we've looked at for a couple of weeks already. Then Paul writes, when he's talking about people knowing Christ and being saved, Paul writes, but how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard. I know we can argue in America, well, they got to have heard Jim. Not my fault if they didn't hear. I know that we can argue that. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, less than 50% of Americans are going to church today. They're not turning on Christian TV and they're not turning on Christian radio. And some of them simply do not know what the Word of God says, even in our neighborhood. And so Paul writes, how are they to believe in one whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim Him? And how are they to proclaim Him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Last week we looked at the Great Commission and Jesus said, go, make disciples, baptize and teach them. We've been commissioned. And this week Paul reminds the church at Rome and he reminds us how, Jim, he speaks to me first, are your neighbors going to hear of me unless you tell them? How are your family, your co-workers, former or current, going to know about me unless you tell them? And I could rationalize, well, God, because they could turn on the radio if they wanted to. Or they could go down to the church on the next block because every church, every block has one. I could rationalize that away. And Paul challenges the church, how are they going to know unless someone proclaim Him? And folks aren't going to church today, so his church, brothers and sisters, needs to proclaim Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. We need to proclaim Him. All we have to do is tell our story. I told you before, I'll tell you again, God will use your story because it's a God story. He will bring glory to Himself if you'll simply tell your story. If you have been redeemed, you have a story. I think I told some of you this story before, but it fits here today, so allow me to share it with you again. It was a beautiful Saturday afternoon, early September, just like today and yesterday. I was in St. Paul at a very fancy golf course doing a wedding for a friend of mine who used to be in this church in a Bible study. And he asked if I would come do his wedding, and so I said, yes, I will. It was a beautiful place. It was a beautiful day. And Sherry and I were there. Well, just about the time I got ready to walk down this nice, greased, green, grassy aisle with the groom, my telephone in my pocket went off. However, it didn't ring. I had it on buzz. And I thought, well, I'm not going to be able to take this now because I'm about to walk down the aisle with the groom. And so I didn't take it then, but when the service was over, I listened to the voicemail, and it was from Renee House, from our own congregation. And Renee told me, my friend, my really good friend's mom is sick. She's in the Brainerd Hospital, and, well, she ain't doing that good, Jim, and I don't think she's got a pastor or church, either one, right now. Wondered if you could go see her. Well, I told Renee that I'm in St. Paul, so I won't be going today. And tomorrow's Sunday, a little busy tomorrow. May not go then, but I will try to go Monday. I really didn't know Leanne. Matter of fact, I never met her before. And I could have rationalized with Renee, well, you know her better, Renee. You go do it. You got a story to tell. And I could have rationalized with myself, if she's not in church now and doesn't have to have a pastor now, she probably don't want to see one now either. I could have said that. I also could have said to Renee, and I could have said it to myself, well, you know what? She's not part of our church, and we got quite a few people in our church keeping me kind of busy anyway, and she really ain't even part of our community, so I'm just going to have to pass on this one. I could have said all that, but I just felt that Renee called for a reason, and I felt maybe it was even from the Lord. And so on Monday I went. And I found Leanne and her husband in that upper room of the Brainerd Hospital, and she knew I was coming. She'd been told. And it was okay with her that I would come. And she invited me in. And well, I really didn't know what to say other than, how are you, Leanne? And for the next 30 or 40 minutes, she told me how she was. You see, friends, sometimes you just got to take the time to ask your friend, your neighbor, your family, how are you? And then listen. Sometimes I'm not too good at listening, but maybe you're not so good at listening either. But in this case, I knew I just needed to sit there and listen. And so I listened to her, sitting there by her bedside. I listened to her for quite a while, and she told me she just learned on Friday she had cancer. This was Monday. She told me about her kids, grandkids. She told me about her job. She told me she was sick. She told me she'd been in church once in a while, but she wasn't that comfortable in church, and well, she hadn't been there for quite a while, and she believed in God. She wasn't sure about much else, spiritually speaking. And now she was sick. And after she had spoke to me, 30, 40 minutes at least, the Lord whispered to me, "I think you know the voice because I think some of y'all have heard it. Now tell her your story." That's all He said. Tell her your story. And so I told her, "Leanne, I'm a pastor, yeah, but I'm just a plain person. I'm really not that special. I grew up on a farm, loved the farm, worked in a factory, didn't come into the ministry till I was mid-40s, wasn't even following the Lord some of my life." I told her about the night that Sherry and I, 3 days into our own marriage, got on our knees before God and said, "Forgive us, Lord. We've been doing things our way and we've been making a mess of it. We surrender to You. And we want You to take control of our lives and our home and our children when they come in the years ahead." And I told Leanne, you know what? He changed me. He came into my heart. He came into my life. He came into my wife's. And He changed us. He came into our home and He took over. And I just told her a little bit of our story. And I just wanted to tell her a little bit about what Jesus had done to me and what He means to me. And when I told her a whole bunch of my story, I asked her, I said, "Leanne, are you where you want to be with Jesus? Because I firmly believe, brothers and sisters, when God has put somebody on your heart and you go to see Him, you start with some prayer and then you follow up with a visit and you ask Him, 'How are you really?' you're probably going to listen, need to listen a little while. And then I believe if you get around to that point of asking, 'Are you really where you want to be with Jesus?' a lot of people are going to tell you, 'No, I don't think I am.' Or they'll tell you, 'I think so, but I don't know. I've heard the answers.' And when they say, 'I think so, but I don't know,' they're not very comfortable with Jesus. And when they say, 'Know what? I don't think I am.' Or when they say, 'Well, I've been to church some, I just haven't been lately,' they might not be where they need to be with Jesus. And so I just simply ask her, 'Leanne, are you where you need to be with Jesus?' And she said, 'I don't think I am.' And so then I ask her, 'Do you want to get right with God through faith in Jesus Christ as Lord, as your Lord, as your Savior?' She said, 'I do. I really do.' And I took her by the hands and I prayed with her. I invited her to do what Paul invited the church at Rome and those people. If we'll confess with our mouth and believe in our heart the Lord Jesus and God raised Him from the dead. If you will believe that God sent His one and only Son. He shed His blood for us that we might not die in our sin, that His blood might redeem us. If we will believe that and embrace that and confess that with our mouth and receive Him as Lord, He's going to come into our heart and life. He's going to save us. Amen? He's going to save us. That's what the Word says." And so I helped her with that kind of a prayer. And she prayed there to surrender her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right there lying in the hospital bed. And when we were done praying together, she was crying. And so I just kept praying. I just kept then praying for her physical needs. I've told you this before, friends, but our spiritual needs really are more important than our physical ones. I know it's nice to feel good. I like to feel good too. And I know people are hurting here today. I know people were hurting here in the first service. They're hurting. Their heart's broken. Their bodies are broken. They hurt. But friends, if we haven't got things right spiritually, then eternity isn't going to be all right at all. And so I began to pray for her physical needs and continued to pray for her. And her husband was sitting 6-8 feet away the whole time. I began to pray for him right there while I was praying, holding her hand. That was a Monday. I stopped in there a couple of more times over the next few days. The first time that I was there after, she wasn't in her room. And so I just wrote on her whiteboard, "I was here, Leanne, to see you. I hope you're well. I'm praying for you." I was back a few more days later to see if she was, how she was progressing, and she hardly even knew me. I believe God knew when she could think and process, and I know He knew how much time she had. That Monday was about one of the last days perhaps she was going to be able to process this gift called salvation. God knew that. And He used Renee to call me. And I just decided maybe I should go. And I'm not bragging about me going or doing anything about it, because it's God that brings the increase, okay? Let's get that straight. It's God that brings the increase. But He does want to use you and you and I as His voice. 14 days later, from the Monday that I went to see her, I got a call from her family. I was at home that evening. And I got a call and said, "Leanne's gone." 14 days. So back to the hospital I went to be with her family in her room for a little while. That's 16 days after Renee called me. 17 days after she found she had cancer, she was gone to eternity. You see, God knew that. I didn't. Renee didn't. But God did. And He was looking for somebody to just go and tell their story. That's all He's looking for. Just go tell your story. Because I can take it from there. If you'll just tell your story. And He took it from there, all right. He redeemed her. He saved her. And she's in glory today. And I'm reminded of these verses over and over. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? You see, she was struggling a little bit with, who is God? Do I believe in Him? Yeah, I think I believe in Him. Who is Jesus? Paul reminds us, church, how are they going to call on someone they have not believed? How are they going to believe in someone they've never heard? How are they going to hear without someone proclaiming to them the good news of Jesus? How are they going to hear it unless you and I say it? I mentioned earlier in the earlier service, because all three of these people were there. Every now and then God will put somebody on your heart. And He'll say, go call them. Go see them. It's a matter of then what we do with that. You know what? He probably had a reason. He probably had a purpose. He's done that to you. He's done it to me. Dave Bushell, who was in our earlier service, has got his own battle of cancer going on. And yet God put people on His heart, like Jerry Jackson, who died Saturday. And God gave Jerry literature, and He told him his story. He told him who he trusted in. And so Dave was leaving that up to God to bring about the increase. And Linda Beebe was here earlier service, and her mama died a year ago, last August. She found out she had cancer, and 2 weeks later she was in eternity. But during that 2 weeks, Linda Beebe went to her mama and said, "Mama, let me tell you about Jesus." And she trusted Jesus as her Lord. You see, every now and then, God will put you on high alert and say, "I'd like you to tell your story to somebody, because I can use your story if you'll tell them." Chris Neal tells me from time to time, God has put one of my former teachers on my heart. So I'm stopping every now and then at the care center to tell my old teacher about Jesus. You see, He can use your story, friends. And I'm here to tell you, there's plenty of Americans that could use your story. There's plenty of them. You don't have to be a missionary. America has sent hundreds of thousands of missionaries overseas. Praise God for that. But we need to start going across the street and be missionaries where we live. And tell our story. How are they going to hear and know about Jesus unless we tell them our story? God will take it from there. You see, friends, God is at work in people's lives. I know He is. I encounter Him all the time. Whether I get a call from somebody, Jim, my son's on drugs, or my wife's left me, or I got cancer, or whatever else, God's working on people. And He may work through some tragic circumstances, but He's working on people, and He's asking His church to come alongside those people and love them, and maybe even tell them their story. And so I just tell you this, friends. I could tell you a lot more stories. I'd like to, because they're God stories. They're transformation stories. Margaret Montgomery was sitting here in the first service, and I should have remembered to tell that story. Because God used me one day to leave work and go to a hospital room in Staples Hospital and tell Ronnie Montgomery my story. And I asked him the same thing. Ronnie, his heart was failing. I asked him straight out, "Are you ready to die?" And he said, "I don't think I am." I could tell you stories like that all afternoon because they're God stories. And Ronnie prayed to receive Christ and died 4 months later. Those are God stories. You see, God's at work whether we believe it or not. God's at work whether we want to be involved or not, but He does want to use us, friends. He wants to use the church to be His hands and feet. He wants to use the church to bring Him glory. And so I'm just telling you this not to boast about myself. I'm nobody special. I'm just someone that wants to follow Jesus. And I'm just crazy enough to follow Him close enough to think that He might want me to tell other people about Jesus too. And I hope that you are too. Because it might be a coworker, it might be a neighbor, it might be a child in Awana. You need to take some time and tell them your story and really tell them about Jesus. It might be. And I'm just here to ask you this morning, friends, will you trust Him? Will you really, really trust Him when He puts somebody's name in your mind that maybe He wants to use you? Maybe He wants you to tell them about Himself and about Jesus. I'm just asking you this morning, friends, will you be the one once in a while, just once in a while, when He puts someone on your mind and He gives you a little nudge, will you be the one to tell them? Because how are they going to know unless they've been told? How are they going to believe unless somebody tells them the story? And how are they going to hear unless someone comes to them? I'm just asking you, friends, will you be the one? I'm sure wanting to, and I've failed Him a few times on those occasions, but I hope that I go see people more often than I don't when He puts them on my mind. So I want you to think about two things while we're singing this last song. Paul used the phrase in here, confess with our mouth, believe in our heart, equals saved. If you've never been saved today, friends, let me encourage you, don't wait too long. 57 was the funeral I did last week. I've done them for people a lot less than I am. Accident up on 64 last Sunday could have claimed the life of a lot of people. Head-on collision. Your life could be over tomorrow. We don't have any guarantees of another week, another Sunday service. We don't have any guarantees of living to be a beautiful age of 90 like my brother Harry is. I praise God for Harry. He's going to be 91 soon. We don't all get 91. We better get right with Jesus before it's too late. And if you're here today and haven't been saved, I'm asking you to cry out to Him today. Confess with your mouth. I'll pray with you. Or you can come and pray at the altar. Confess with your mouth that He is Lord and you need Him. He is Savior of humanity. We're a sinner and we need a Savior. And He's it. Confess that with your mouth. Believe it in your heart and be saved today. And so if that's your case, I'm asking you to pray to Him today. And if you are saved, I'm just asking you, will you be listening for the voice of the Master? Will you be attentive to that voice that says, Jim, maybe it'll come through Renee. Maybe it'll come through me. Maybe I'll ask you to go see somebody. Maybe it'll come through somebody else. Maybe it'll just be the Spirit saying, Jim, I need you to go see your neighbor. Will you tell him your story? Will you love the Lord enough to love your neighbor as yourself? Amen. Friends, let's bow our heads. And I just want to encourage you again. If you're not sure you've been saved, will you surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? That's the only way we're going to be part of heaven. Will you surrender to Him? Will you say yes to the Master? If He's speaking to you today, will you say, "Yes, Lord Jesus, I know I need You. Come into my life and take over. Take control. I want to be Your son, Your daughter. I want to live with You forever. Forgive me of my sin and come take control." If you've never done that, friends, would you do it today? Before another day, another week might be too late. And for the rest of us, friends that have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, may we remember this week and always, how will they know unless we tell them? Father, forgive us this morning for beginning with me, for the times we have made excuses. You've called upon us to do this or that, or go here or there, or just to love our neighbor in a new way. Maybe it was our boss, maybe it was a coworker, maybe it was our family. And we didn't follow through with what You called us to do. Forgive us for that. But Father, if You'll give us another chance, another opportunity to love You with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves, I pray that we'd be more receptive to Your Spirit's leading and that we would just love our neighbor by telling them our story. Can I tell you what Jesus has done for me? Or if You put someone on our heart and we really ask them, "How are you?" then we really listen. We show them that we care. And then maybe it'll be an opportunity to say, "Can I tell you what God has done for me?" And so, Father, if You'll just give us another opportunity, put another name on us, our family or co-worker or whatever, if You give us another chance, Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to be mindful of the words of Jesus that said, "Go therefore and make disciples." Help us to be mindful of the words of Paul here from Romans 10 that said, help us be mindful of this phrase, "How are they going to know unless someone tells them?" And so, Father, I pray that You would use Your church. Use me. Use us. To tell of the good news of Jesus. To tell our story. Because You'll do the rest. You said You would. And You're not willing that any should perish. And so, Father, thank You for these folks here today. I just pray, Lord, that if there are people here struggling, knowing that You're knocking on their heart's door and yet not wanting to come forward or not wanting to make a scene or not really ready, but they're hearing Your voice, Father, I pray that they would get to that point soon of saying, "Yes, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I believe You're my Savior, and I want You to take control." I believe there's churches sitting, people sitting in churches all over America today, Father, that are hearing Your voice. I just pray that they'd respond to the voice of the Master, "Come." When He says, "Come," I just pray that they'd respond and say, "Yes, Lord Jesus, here I am. I come to You." And so, Lord, thank You again for Your goodness. To save a wretch like me, to save us, to use us to bring glory to Your great name. For those that hurt in their body this morning, I just pray You'd touch them, Lord. For those that hurt in their spirit, I pray that You'd encourage them. I pray again for the family that I did a funeral for a couple days ago that have been very angry at You and even quite distant. I pray for them today, Lord. Touch them like only You can. For families right here in our town, Motley, Pillager, Philbrook, Lincoln, Leader, Staples and beyond, our family, our neighbors, Father, we pray that You would touch them and where You can use us to tell them our story. We'll thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for this beautiful day. Go with us now, I pray, to a good day of pondering you, pondering eternity, and pondering maybe what you have for us to do for you. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.